The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
It's more about our hearts than about anything else. The Eucharist is not a rite. That if you're Catholic, the Eucharist is not your rite. It's not my rite. It is a gift. It is always and everywhere a gift. But if we receive that gift unworthily, Scripture says we eat condemnation upon ourselves. Another way to say it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if we eat and drink.
As we have seen politicians who stand for abortion go up to the communion rail. But as we look at this very sensitive issue about being pro-choice and being Catholic, we superimpose it over this research from just a few weeks ago from the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research that shows that 64% of United States Catholics and 40% of Catholic Republicans, by the way, in a subset that they broke out, agreed that abortion should be legal in most cases. We have seen politicians talk about this. We have seen the courageous activities of Archbishop Salvatore Corleone in the Archdiocese of San Francisco and, of course, in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, with Bishop Thomas John Papraki, who, as we talk about this issue of standing for abortion, of being pro-choice and going up to the communion rail, it's more than just the politicians. It goes very deep into the economic structure of the United States. And this really is an opportunity for an examination of conscience, as Bishop Papraki joins us here on the Drew Mariani Show. Your Excellency, welcome.
Hello, John. Good to be with you and your listeners.
It's good to have your voice back on Relevant Radio. How do you feel when you hear some of these startling numbers about the percentage of Catholics who believe that abortion should be legal, and they're still going up to the communion rail without first going into the confessional?
Well, it says that we have a lot of educating to do to continue to make the Church's teachings known, and that's one of the reasons why I've written about this in my diocesan news magazine, Catholic Times, and addressed this issue again in our most recent issue, and expanding that conversation, not just to talk about politicians, where the focus has been so much in the past, but also to talk about business leaders, because what we're seeing now after the Dobbs versus Jackson decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, we see dozens of companies that have announced that they're going to pay for their employees to go have an abortion. If they're in a state that prohibits abortion, they will pay, in some cases, up to $4,000 for their employees to travel to a pro-abortion state where they can have an abortion. So I think that also has to be in our awareness that there are companies that are also promoting abortion, and that I think as consumers, we should take a look at that, you know, and even consider not purchasing products from companies that are going to be paying for abortions.
What is your advice, Bishop Papraki, as we look at this list that is in the article that you just published in the Diocesan Magazine? And we'll put a link to that up on the show page here on the Drew Mariani Show. There are companies like American Express. Should I cut up and turn in my American Express cards?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, we have to look at that. I mean, that may be an option to consider. Another option may be to, before taking a step of just cutting up your credit card, is to write them a letter.
Yeah.
And to say, you know what, I see that you're going to be paying for abortions, and as a customer, I object to that. And if you don't rescind that policy, I would seriously consider taking my business elsewhere. Now, you know, the problem the list is that, you know, as this list of companies grows, you know, it's what are your options, you know? So I see on the list
there aren't many.
MasterCard on that list, you know, and Citigroup is on that list. I mean, it's like if there are companies you know, make it impossible to just switch from one company to another, well, then we're in a position of saying, well, okay, we're perhaps materially cooperating, but we don't have the intention, and our cooperation is remote, so that we're not personally culpable with that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a different question for the executives of these companies who are making these decisions, and that's another point I make in my column, is that I think we've moved into a new equation, you might say, of the moral analysis here, where prior to Dobbs versus Jackson, Roe versus Wade said that abortion has to be legal everywhere in our country. And so politicians and business leaders could simply say, oh, well, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but there, you know, it's the law of the land. There's nothing I can do about this. And what we're seeing now with Roe v. Wade being overturned, we see politicians not only speaking, but even President Biden issuing an executive order facilitating abortions. Well, that moves it into what we call moral theology, formal cooperation. Formal cooperation is when you have the intent. And certainly it's President Biden's intent, and as these business leaders who are paying for abortions, it's their intent to promote abortion. That makes them morally culpable. And those who are who have formal cooperation at the intent to promote a serious sin like abortion are not to receive Holy Communion.
Well, what do you do if there's only a Kroger's in your community where you can shop? I mean, yes, we let the executives of Kroger's know. That's one of the companies on your list, Bishop Papraki, who will support and pay for abortion. I still have to feed my families. You can see the quandary that a number of us are in.
Right, and that's why I'm not actually calling for an outright boycott and say, well, you shouldn't shop at these places. I think you always have to take these questions into consideration. If that's your only option, if it's the only supermarket in town there, well, you've got to feed your family. I think it's similar for employees who work for these companies. I've heard from some employees that are questioning whether or not they can continue to work for these companies. Now, it could be they're in no way involved in the decision making here, and so in that sense they're not formal cooperators. But they're saying, I just feel uncomfortable working for a company that I know is promoting abortion, and so some of them are actually seriously considering, you know, leaving and going to another company. Now, that may not be possible for everyone, you know, depending on what are your employment options. And so, again, I think a person is not necessarily morally obliged to say, well, I have to quit working at this company, or I can't shop there at all. But I think there are alternatives to that. So an employee, if it's, you know, possible without losing your job, to make your views known and say, you know, I really have problems with our company's policy here, and I wish you would reconsider that. And for customers as well, you know, if for example, Kroger's is the only option in your community, to write to the owner and say, you know, I wish you would reconsider the policy that I think is morally objectionable. But there are other cases where I think there is discretion. I mean, Amazon, for example, they sell lots of things, but many of the products that they sell are available from other stores, and so there are other options. You take Disney, for example. Disney's is supposed to be an entertainment company, and it's supposed to be family-friendly. Well, I think what we're seeing here, Disney's announcing that they're going to pay for employees to have abortions, and they also just announced that they're going to be running R-rated movies on their Disney Plus channel. So if I were a parent, I'd say I'd want to think twice before exposing my children to anything having to do with the Disney company.
Amen. Bishop Thomas Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, with us today on the Drew Mariani Show, and we're talking about politicians and now a growing list of businesses that Bishop Papraki wrote about in his latest column in the Diocesan News magazine who are supporting and in many cases paying for abortions for their employees, certainly endorsing them and some of the unintended consequences that we see with the decision on Roe versus Wade. It doesn't mean that abortion is illegal in the United States. It still is in many states. And of course, Illinois is one of those abortion-friendly states. You sit in the state capital of Illinois, and I'm sure you have the occasion, Bishop Papraki, to speak with the governor and other leaders and those who represent Illinois in Congress. What are those conversations like when you talk to them about these issues of life, especially if they're Catholic?
Well, they're difficult conversations. So the previous governor, Governor Bruce Rauner, signed legislation in 2017 that was very pro-abortion, declaring abortion to be a fundamental right, providing taxpayer funding of abortion. And he was not Catholic, but he was a Republican. And in fact, he had promised made an explicit promise to Cardinal Supich in Chicago that he would veto that bill, and then he sat on it for several months and then eventually signed it, put it into law. And I think that cost him his job. He lost the election. Our current governor, J.B. Pritzker, is also not Catholic, very pro-abortion, and it makes no bones about that. He wants abortion to be widely available, welcoming people to come to Illinois. He wants to make Illinois an abortion haven here in the United States. So there are difficult conversations that we have, but here in Illinois, for example, I mentioned it's a fundamental right. We have taxpayer funding of abortion. Just recently, as of June 1st, Illinois repealed their parental notification law. So this is also making it the situation where a minor child can request an abortion without the parents even knowing about it.
Right.
And so it's a very difficult situation here in our state.
But I still have to pay my taxes. And as you mentioned in your column, obviously, if you live in Illinois and you pay taxes or you purchase goods from a retailer in Illinois who may be standing up for abortion, your tax dollars going into the state coffers, it is material cooperation, but it's remote, it's unavoidable, and as a result, not sinful. Bishop Papraki is with us, and you can join our conversation here at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How much more vocal do we have to be as Catholics? I've never felt that as Catholics we have been vocal enough to overcome the din from the other side. I mean, we're in a safe environment here on Relevant Radio, and we talk about life, and we may talk about it with some members of our family, but we're still gun-shy about standing up and saying, I'm Catholic, and I stand for life from the moment of conception until natural death.
Right. I think we are much too quiet about that and too reticent. People apparently afraid that voicing their opinion on a matter, abortion, that it's going to be seen as being political. And it's a moral issue. There are political aspects, but politics has to do with policy. And, as voters, we should make our views known about the policies that our government is adopting. And the fact is that we have even Catholic politicians like President Biden and Speaker Pelosi and Senator Durbin here in Illinois, that they want to trumpet the fact that they are supposedly devout Catholics and at the same time very pro-abortion. And they get away with that because people continue to vote for them, and including Catholics, they vote for them. And I think that that puts the responsibility on the voters, the Catholic voters that are helping to reelect these pro-abortion candidates. They have a moral responsibility as well.
Exactly, and that's the quandary that we're in. We're citizens of the United States, and we want to exercise our right to vote, but we're also citizens of heaven, and very often there really isn't a choice between the two. I hate to sit out elections, but I have, because I couldn't vote on either side, either for someone who really didn't have Christian values or stand for the common good, or the other side that was standing up for abortion. It's a difficult situation that many Catholics find themselves in here in the United States.
Right. Sometimes we have no choices. If you've got two pro-abortion candidates running against each other, there's not much you can do in a situation like that. And so there are situations perhaps where I would say you don't skip voting entirely. Maybe you skip that particular office on the ballot. There are plenty of other offices that we should vote for. And some states, they also provide for write-in candidates. Now, that may be simply a symbolic thing, but, if you have in your state the possibility of a write-in candidate and the only candidates on the ballot are both pro-abortion, you might consider writing in the name of someone, that is pro-life, even... the odds of that person being elected are remote, but at least you voice your opinion that way.
Our conversation with Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, in his latest column for the Diocesan News Magazine, talking about politicians, but also business leaders who promote abortion policies. And in that link that we'll put up on our show page here on the Drew Mariani Show on relevantradio.com, you can see any number of very recognizable companies. We're talking about Apple, Amazon, we're talking about Adidas, Nike, Macy's, MasterCard, American Express, so many different ones. Have you looked looked at real estate on Zillow or Yelp or Warner Brothers. There are any number of businesses there that will be eye-opening for you. So we recommend you take a look at that. And, you know, perhaps, again, not only vote with your wallet, but let the people know, not only at the local level, but at the corporate level, where you stand as Roman Catholic men and women. That's where we really do need to, as we were talking about the first apostle, St. Mary Magdalene, earlier in the program today, where we need to be the apostles of today and truly stand up for our faith and start educating a lot of these companies and certainly these politicians about where we stand as Catholics. What kind of pushback have you gotten from this article so far?
So far, I've got just one email of someone who thought, this is kind of the bringing up the old saying, well, I'm personally opposed, but, and we should just let people have their opinions on that. But, you know, in this case, it's not just a matter of being personally opposed. And in fact, I think what we're seeing is they're not personally opposed. They are personally, these politicians and business people are very actively, you know, promoting abortion. And they're seeing this decision as, and Dobbs versus Jackson as infringing on the right to an abortion. And as the court pointed out in Dobbs, there's nothing in the Constitution that enshrines a right to abortion, and that pertains to particular states, and it also pertains to the legislatures. It doesn't even really belong in the courts.
Right.
That this is a matter of public policy, and so we have that debate going on now, and several states have outlawed abortion at varying stages, and then you have other states, as I was mentioning earlier, like Illinois and New York, California, where abortion is still legal, probably will be for the foreseeable future.
I'm here in the New York area and have the opportunity to see television that comes from Connecticut. The governor of Connecticut, Governor Ned Lamont, and also Richard Blumenthal, who is up for re-election, a Democrat in the United States Senate, have commercials on the air. They're really campaign spots, but they are disguised as tourism commercials. Come to Connecticut where you can get an abortion. My mouth dropped. My jaw dropped. I couldn't believe what I was watching. These would be traditional tourism ads, except they're saying, come here for an abortion. And that's what you and I are seeing. But this is where we have to stand up and let our voices be heard as well. 888-914-9149 with Bishop Thomas Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. Mary is in Maine joining our conversation. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I won't out my employer on the air, but I do work for an employer who has made one of these announcements stating that they're going to pay for abortions for their employees, you know, who need to go travel perhaps to a state where it's legal. And not only that, but for their dependents as well. So not only are women employees, but their daughters as well who need abortions, which I thought kind of added an extra layer of, you know, appalling to it. But you know, when the announcement came out that this is what they were going to do, the email said, you know, we understand that there will be some people who disagree with this, right? And that was kind of, I think, the bone that we were thrown, like for those of us who disagree, I mean, it doesn't mean anything or do anything, but it was like this, we realize not everyone agrees with this. So I emailed at a very high level in the company, she's the head of HR, and I said, you know, for your employees who don't agree with this, look, why don't you do this? You've announced that you're going to pay for your women and their daughters to go get abortions in states and pay their travel expenses, their hotels, pay for the abortion. How about if you offer the same amount, whatever that amount is, to women or their daughters who become unexpectedly pregnant to keep the pregnancy, to pay towards their prenatal care, and to pay towards giving the baby up for adoption if that's what they decide? Because then at least you're supporting, you know, the gamut of options available to women who are unexpectedly pregnant and may not necessarily want to keep the pregnancy. And you're not just seen as just being like, we're going to fly our employees all around the country to kill their babies. You know what I mean? Like, put their feet to the fire in that way to say, look, why don't you do this too? If you're going to pay for abortions, put the same amount of money into a kitty for women to keep their babies and give them up for adoption. And see what they say. I think they'll be startled. I don't really think they'll say anything, but I'm quite sure none of these employers have perhaps even thought of that.
Well, that's wonderful that you raised that. That's a very good point because these folks want to consider themselves pro-choice and they use that phrase, but if they're really going to be pro-choice, give them a choice. If you're going to be giving people money to have an abortion, why not give them money to have the baby? And to support a woman's choice to have that.
Yeah.
Mary, thank you.
What kind of response did you get from the head of HR?
Well, you know, I will say it was a very respectful conversation, email conversation. She was, you know, she went out of her way to say thank you for sharing your views, you know, that to make it very clear that there was nothing against me for sharing my opinion and saying what I thought. There was no response, really, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. We're going to do that. There was nothing like that, unfortunately. But I guess you never know maybe what seed has been planted. Maybe, you know, you can just, all you can do is raise the point, and then that's all you can do. So you never know.
Well, thanks for doing that. That's great.
Mary, I think you planted the seed, and with your phone call and with your courage as well. Thanks for adding so much to the conversation. Bishop Thomas Papraki with us here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And we are talking about his latest article for the Diocesan Magazine, talking not only about politicians. This is a conversation that's been going on for some time. Politicians who are Catholic and also pro-choice, but also the business leaders who promote abortion policies and actually have benefits and promote those benefits where employees can travel to other states to have an abortion. And in the link that we'll put up on the Drew Mariani Show page, you can see that very extensive list of companies that's out there. And it's eye-opening. It's places where I shop, credit cards that I have. And now I'm going to have a little more courage. And let me talk a little bit about courage, because I think we need that as Catholics. And mine wavers, Bishop Papraki. I'm ashamed to say that, but it does. You know, I can get worked up over something and then not do anything about it. And this can be one of those times when I can get worked up about it in this type of conversation as we hear what you have written and talk about potential solutions. But then I have to put it into action. How can I get my courage and put that into action? What can I do?
Well, courage, the root of the word courage is core, which is your heart. And so it's a question of having a strong heart, and you know, I think in that regard we bring that to our Lord in prayer, you know, and ask the Lord to fill our hearts with His grace and to give us the strength of the Holy Spirit that we need in order to do something that may be difficult. I mean, nobody likes confrontation, and we like to get along, and we like to get, you know, be cooperative with people, and particularly then, like our previous caller, that took a lot of courage to talk to someone in your company. You know, I would think most people would be thinking, I'm going to talk to the head of HR. You know, is that going to cost me a promotion or maybe cost me my job? But if you really have a strong conviction about something, you know, you have to speak up, and then the courage is not only to have the strength to do it, but to do it in a way that's loving. I mean, so it's express your concern for the women who want to have their children, and rather than paying for them to have an abortion, what help or assistance can we give them? I think that's a beautiful way to put that. It's a loving response. It's a compassionate response. But then sometimes there is a cost to what we do, and we see that, you know, in terms of the martyrs. Today is St. James the Apostle, one of the first to be martyred.
Exactly.
And we see that, you know, all throughout history of Catholics who said, you know, I'm not going to waver in my beliefs, and even to the extent of that cost me my life, and make the ultimate sacrifice in doing that.
And as we stand up and talk about these issues of life, not only with companies, not only in our own communities, but nationwide, and also stand up with our own family and friends to talk about issues of life and where we stand as Roman Catholic men and women, we always do that and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us to do that with clarity and charity. Bishop Thomas John Papraki, one of the great voices in the Catholic Church here in the United States, joining us on the Drew Mariani Show. Bishop Papraki, thank you for the generous amount of time you've given us. May we have your blessing this afternoon, please?
Certainly, we ask for God's graces to be with all those who are facing these difficult questions, and we ask God to strengthen the hearts of all those to stand firm in the belief that human life begins at conception. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Papraki, thank you. You'll be in our prayers. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next half hour, of course, as Catholics, you know the word discernment, and we discern over so many things, and the discernment over what comes into our homes sometimes without us even giving a second thought about what we're watching. But now as we go into not only the midterms, but the 2022-2024 presidential election, how to be a little bit more discerning about the information we take in, and as Catholics, how we share that with others. We'll give you some tips coming up as we continue on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
I love the fact that we're playing Smoke on the Water. I don't recall that number on the hymn board at church over the weekend, but it sure sounds good on the radio. John Harper in for Drew Mariani this afternoon. And did you ever get to the point when you turn the television on, it might be to watch your local news, or you plug into one of the cable news channels, and that's an oxymoron, cable news, where you just say, I just had enough, because people are just yelling at each other all of the time. And you just say, enough already. Yeah, it's enough already, but you get bombarded with all kinds of facts and figures, some true, some not true, some with spin, some totally false. I'll never forget going to confession. This is years ago, and I had a question about something that I had actually heard from another priest in confession. And Father said to me, he said, you know what? Use the graces that God has given you from this sacrament right now and be discerning. And that was like somebody turned on a light. That confessional went from dark to light when he said, be discerning. And I never forgot that, about being discerning, about asking the Holy Spirit to clearly understand what I'm taking in. It could be a matter of faith. It could be a matter of anything in your life or mine. Be discerning, especially as we go now into the 2020 midterms. Of course, that's been going on for a while. And of course, the conversation has started for the 2024 presidential election. So how do you and I become discerning over the news choices that are out there? Let's examine this with Dr. Paul Kengor, a trusted voice here on the Drew Mariani Show and a professor of political science at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Also the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values, and his latest book is The Devil and Karl Marx. Dr. Kengor, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, John, good to be back with you. Thanks.
You ever turn the darn thing off and just say, enough, I can think for myself?
Man, I turn the thing off pretty early in the day, frankly. I watch the thing very little at night. And in fact, I catch a lot of, as you put it, cable news, right? I catch a lot of it when I go to my in-law's house or my parents' house.
Right.
Or relatives, you know, they'll have it on, but you know, and as much as it is, it's an occupational hazard. It's part of my job, right? I need to be informed. Yeah, I write about this stuff. I do commentary on, you know, Drew's show and, you know, your show in the past, John, and so I need to be up to date on all of this. But it's often agonizing, and I will I'll catch a lot of these things sometimes in a hotel when I'm traveling. And then it takes me only about a matter of about 20 minutes before I turn it off. But honestly, John, the way that I've sort of kept myself informed, I get up in the morning and I read about a dozen different news sites, a kind of news and magazines, from the right, from the left, from the middle. And you know, I have email and other things. And then that's kind of it. The rest of the day I spend, teaching, writing, doing things with my family. But there's only so much of it you could take. And then I'll add one more thing. The whole TV part of the thing, right, the cable news and Fox and CNN and MSNBC, I know you need advertising to pay the bills, right? But the incessant commercial breaks every 5 minutes for another really loud, obnoxious series of advertisements for whatever over and over again, It's just this cacophony of noise. And I said one thing, but I'll add one more thing. As somebody who's I love doing talk radio, I love doing relevant radio. One of the reasons why I like doing networks like this, I've done TV many times, and they'll call you up, the producer, and say, okay, we need you to go down to the studio. We need you to be there an hour and a half early. You get there an hour and a half early. They put you in this seat. They put a microphone in your ear. They put makeup on you. And then you wait and wait and wait and wait. And then, John, you're on for like a minute and a half. And then you have to go to a commercial, another commercial break. And I just, the whole thing is so superficial and not enjoyable. And it's, I turn it off and tune it out pretty early in the day.
Dr. Kengor, as we talk about being discerning over the information that we choose to trust, number one, and take any action on, have we become so connected that we've become disconnected? There is such an overwhelming amount of, quote, information, small I, out there that we're learning nothing.
Yeah, I think so. And also, too, you can really get sucked into the whole 24/7 aspect of the news cycle. And, I saw this really, I'd say maybe 10 or 15 years ago when I watched all of this much more than I do now. Just when you think that you're kind of done with whatever issue was going on, right, that's been developing for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, they, whoever they are, but they have this way of feeding you something new right away. You know, the next sort of crisis du jour, right? The next sort of, series of talking points, quote unquote, breaking news, which is hardly ever actually breaking news. It just says breaking news all the time at the bottom of these tickers. And, that's something that just very much wears me down, wears on me. Everybody, I suppose.
I come out of that environment, and I call it broken news more than breaking news. On the Drew Mariani Show, our conversation with Dr. Paul Kengor, and we're talking about being discerning about where you get information. And we're curious, where do you get your information? And how do you filter that through not only your faith, but filter that through your own set of values as a Roman Catholic man or woman? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How are you discerning about the information that you consume and then share with someone else? 888-914-9149. Dr. Kengor, I think we've had this conversation before when we used to be on in the morning, but as viewers, especially at the local level, we really do have a direct line to the management of our local news stations, because very often you'll see an agenda pop up from time to time or a story that is not positive when it comes to the Catholic faith. And I know this is going to be a blanket indictment, but this comes from working in TV newsrooms with a lot of fallen away Catholics. Whenever a priest would walk into the newsroom, people would literally dive under desks because they really didn't know how to handle issues of faith on the air. But that's where we come in as the apostles of today, and with clarity and charity, to not only pick up the phone and ask for the news director, but send a polite email or a piece of snail mail explaining that you watch their television station and that their viewpoint on issues of Catholicism, perhaps issues of life, are not balanced. Because very often, you have seen local newscasts where they will flock, as they have done, especially after Roe versus Wade, as the pro-abortion lobby. And there are the anti-demonstrators. We're standing for life, and we're the anti-people. They're standing for death, yes. And they're put on a pedestal. This is where we have to come, and I'm going to be finished with my speech in a moment. This is where we have to stand up as Roman Catholic men and women and just change the narrative. But we can't do that unless we get involved, again, with clarity and charity on the phone and via email and snail mail.
Yeah, well, also with the local news, as they say, if it bleeds, it leads, right? And a lot of the local news, you turn on the local news at 11 o'clock, and the first 10 or 15 minutes are just shootings.
It's the blue light special.
Yeah, right, whatever big city that you're near. And then at that point, they go into weather and sports, and, of course, all of that's just filler for the commercials, which is really what 11 to 1130 is really all about. But I would advise people that to the extent that they see anything negative in the local news coverage, about the church or about priests or about the faith, send that email. Type up that email and send it in, because I've seen this again and again. I've seen it happen to me, John, where you know, just one email from somebody can throw a whole place into a tizzy. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
And I've had people say, well, hey, listen, Professor Kengor, Dr. Kengor, people are complaining. And I'll say, okay, wait a minute here, you know, Jim or whoever. How many people are complaining? Because I'm kind of wise to this now, John, right? How many are complaining? Well, you know, we got a few emails. How many? Well, a few. How many? One. We got one email. One
right.
email. Okay,
right.
Call me back when you get 10. Okay, right? And we got 20,000 alumni. call me back when you get 10. Yeah, we've got 100,000 listeners. Call me back when you get a dozen of them. But it just goes to show that it's like one letter to the editor. You can really make a difference by making your voice heard. And look at how the other side does this. I mean, they will get companies to buckle. They'll get entire cities to buckle, right? You know, look at how groups like the whole LGBTQ movement can shut down a city, can shut down a company, can get a boycott of a company by probably a half a dozen people sitting around in their boxer shorts, you know, sending emails to corporate stockholders, shareholders.
True.
You can make a difference, and a lot of that is kind of nasty activism on their part. But if you as a Catholic see a real injustice by a local news outlet or news station regarding something going on in your faith, speak up. Try to correct it. Try to make a difference.
Because God's going to ask us why we didn't do that correction when we saw it. And we're going to have to stand up and answer for this as well, as we talk about being discerning about what you watch. And we're curious what you watch and why you watch it and how you discern whether or not that's true or false. And you share that information with others. Our number here on the Drew Mariani Show is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As you talk about that one complaint email, by the same token, as I was talking about sending an email or a piece of snail mail or making a phone call, it's sometimes difficult to get through to the manager. But, you know, let them know where you stand as a Catholic. And if you don't get the satisfaction from the person who runs the news operation, the news director, send it to the general manager. Send it to the general manager. You should. I'm hopeful you'll get a response. And also something else that you can put on the letter perhaps in the header or just under the address, say, for the public file. Because radio and television stations have to keep something called the public file, which is all about issues affecting the community. And that's something that they have to file every 5 years with the Federal Communications Commission to keep their license. So, you know, we do have power in the best sense of that word, Dr. Kengor, to share again with clarity and charity who we are as Catholics.
Yeah, and you put it well, John, with charity and clarity. And, make the email nice, right? Make it intelligent. Be respectful. And I've also encountered people. I had one guy about 5 years ago who wrote me the most vitriolic, nasty email with all kinds of four-letter words. This guy was a professor in
wow.
New York, and just really. And normally my kind of personal rule is I don't respond to anything like that. But in this case, I couldn't help it, and I just said simply, why are you using this kind of language?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you using this kind of tone? I'd be happy to dialogue with you if you could talk in a civil way. And I was really struck, John. He wrote back. He said, it was like a day later, he said, I apologize, but I found that in order to get people's attention, I need to speak that way. And I said,
right.
Really? Is that right? I would think the opposite is true, but he said, no, I've found that I have to be like this to really get people's attention.
Mm.
And I said, not with me. Just the opposite for me. But this guy, we ended up dialoguing. We've emailed a number of times over the years. But that's not the way to do it. Cursing and being nasty and full of vice, right? Be virtuous. And if you're, and above all, if you're trying to represent the Catholic faith, defend the Catholic faith, and defend something in our faith where it's being attacked, the last thing you want to do is use the language of a screaming pagan, right? Right? Act like a Catholic. Be a saint, right? Act saintly. Act with virtue. And doing all of that can make a difference. Believe it or not, it really can.
We're talking about choosing your news, being discerning, especially in this day and age of the 24/7 news cycle, and of course with politics front and center and just about everything, including our faith, but specifically with the 2022 midterms and looking ahead to the 2024 presidential election. How are you discerning over what you see and hear and what you consume? You'll help other Relevant Radio listeners when you join us in our conversation at 888-914-9149. What are you watching? Why? 888-914-9149 as we continue with Dr. Paul Kangor here on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
How has Relevant Radio changed your life?
Hi, Drew. Hey, real quick, I wanted to tell you, I started listening to you in 2005 when I began my journey into the church. So thank you for all the years that you've been on the air and all you've done.
My guest, Mike Aquilina. I want to thank you, too, for your wonderful work over the years.
Thank you for yours. Listen to that guy who came into the church and he's using you for his formation. I thought that was great that Todd said that. Wonderful.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, and you and I have so many choices to get information. It finds us. We don't have to find those sources, be it on cable television, on the internet. It comes right to you in your pocket, on your smartphone. So how are you discerning over the information sources that you have to not only stand up for your faith, but also share the truth and discern the truth of what you're seeing? We're talking about choosing your news sources and where you go and how you share that information with Dr. Paul Kangor, who is a professor of political science at Grove City College and also the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we talk about what you watch for information and how you share it and how you determine whether or not that's the truth. Mary is joining us in South San Francisco, listening to Relevant Radio 101.7. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you. I listen every day, and I had to stop driving to make this call. This is too important. This is too important. I just told your call screener that I am an RN. I'm licensed in three states, Alabama, Illinois, and California. Alabama, I would not be compelled to participate in abortion. Mm-hmm. But what California and Illinois are doing is, if you are an RN, you basically don't have the right or don't have the conscience to make that decision to reject participating in an abortion. They threaten your life. They threaten your profession. They threaten your livelihood. And I am tired of babies in the womb being treated as public enemy number one.
And you see that very often in media in general. And I hate using the mainstream media, because if you're on the radio or television, guess what? You're in the mainstream media. It's like turning on your light at home and saying, "Well, I'm not on the grid." So that's a misnomer and it's disingenuous. But you raise a good point, Mary and Dr. Kangor. Again, it speaks to us as Catholics to stand up and not be the anti-abortionists, but to stand up and be pro-life. In your experience, how can we start changing that conversation to stand up for life, to be pro-life, and not to demonize babies?
Well, Mary's in a tough situation there. And really, I mean, those three states, that really says a lot about America and where we're going. And, you know, Alabama is a pro-life state. And with the Dobbs decision reversing Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood, pro-life states like Alabama, you're going to have more freedom on pro-life issues. And non-pro-life states like California, New York, and most of the Northeast, I mean, those states are going to become abortion states. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, states like Illinois, which are, you know, pro-life in every single county, are completely controlled by Chicago. So, you know, Illinois is totally 100% at the mercy of Chicago. So, you know, farmers and people in rural areas, the people of Peoria are controlled by the people of Hyde Park and by the mayor of Chicago, and including the Electoral College votes and everything else. I think in the bigger picture here, John, it's why you're going to see a lot more people pro-life and who are conservative generally moving to southern states and moving to the south, because they're not going to want to live in abortion states like New York, where people like the Catholic pro-choice governor Kathy Hochul, who replaced the Catholic pro-choice governor Andrew Cuomo, she has said, you know, women of Texas, women all over America, Lady Liberty welcomes you. Come to New York. You can have your abortion here. We will help provide you transportation to come here if you want to, which means if you live in a state like New York, your taxpayer dollars are going to go to subsidizing things like that, which I think is going to make a lot of those people leave New York to go to states probably like Alabama and elsewhere. Sure. And it's also going to make people like Mary, who's a nurse, who don't want to participate in abortions, move to those states as well. So this is a really big cultural, even demographic, even kind of electoral shift that you're going to see in America in this new, thank God, post-Roe America.
Will that shift that we'll probably see in the next 10 years, guessing, maybe less here in the United States, will that finally shift the conversation to life, or is there so much money behind Planned Parenthood and the money that they funnel to pro-choice politicians that that's always going to be the undercurrent of our society, and we're always going to have to push uphill as Roman Catholic men and women to get this issue of life and our message of life out there and heard and on an equal, if not a stronger footing than the pro-abortion message?
Well, I think it's actually going to make the whole pro-life movement even busier. Yeah, I know, John, that a lot of people thought, wow, what a great victory for the pro-life movement, the Dobbs decision. Now the country's going to be much more pro-life. Well, in a way it is, but now you're going to have, you know, 50 different sets of battles in 50 different states.
Right.
Right. In addition to still fighting, you know, legislative, judicial battles at the federal level. Our Catholic president, Joe Biden, our Catholic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, you know, what they're trying to do legislatively to ensure abortion right now. Look what they did just in the last few days, and they're doing right now in the Senate and the House of Representatives. They're trying to get national legislation for same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. Because they're afraid that the courts now are going to challenge that by pointing out that, well, you know, same-sex marriage, likewise, is not something that the U.S. Constitution talks about. So it's going to, in the case of abortion, it's going to turn all these battles over to all of these different states. It'll make the abortion battles more local, and in a way, maybe that'll be easier in some respects. But it's also going to diffuse the whole thing, and you know, I think overall, it's going to lead to less abortions nationwide,
right.
but it's going to make the battle more complicated, not quite so straightforward.
As
it's
you
not
talk
all
about
just overturning Roe anymore.
Right, exactly. And Dr. Kengor, as you talk about all of the issues that face us as a society here in the United States, don't you wish for a day that you could just sit in the room, if he could possibly come back, Thomas Jefferson, and have him watch a few hours of all of the cable news channels and hear the conversation? How fast would it be before he makes a faceplant, as you know, we hear about how the Constitution is discussed and how very critical issues of literal life and death are discussed in the United States?
Yeah, I think all the founders would be so freaked out by everything that's going on today. I mean, Jefferson, Washington, Madison, John Adams, and you know, I think often about the John Adams quote that the Constitution was made for a moral and religious people.
Mm-hmm.
It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other type, and he would look at the numbers, the data on the dwindling of Americans as a religious people. and certainly as a moral people, or at the very least, their morals have become what we are, what Pope Benedict XVI said, the dictatorship of relativism. Everyone right. has their own definitions of morals. So if the founders saw what we have in this country today, they'd probably be so shocked, they'd probably just say, put me in my grave right now. I don't even want to see it.
You know, and I'm wondering if, and we've got about 60 seconds remaining, if this conversation among those of us who have grown up with legacy media, and I'm talking about those of us who physically still read a newspaper, obviously available online, and, you know, continue to watch the nightly newscasts, which generally skew to an older audience. You see this with the students in front of you at Grove City College, where they have new sources and different sources of information. Are they better? Are they not? That's a separate conversation to have as we move forward and we see a younger generation decidedly more pro-life, that perhaps this is a conversation that you and I might not have with changing demographics here in the United States and changing and shifting electoral votes as people move to pro-life states. We can only pray for that in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Paul Kengor is the professor of political science at Grove City College, also the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values. And check out his latest book, The Devil and Karl Marx. Dr. Kengor, always a pleasure. Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, same here, John. Take care.
Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 Central tonight on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.